song of encouragement this morning after Tanner's lesson would be 540, if you care to mark that at this time, 540. The song before the lesson will be 498. Where he leads, I'll follow. Sing all three verses of this song, after which Brother Tanner will have the lesson for us. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I follow, follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I follow, follow Jesus every day. To his loving words, come unto me, weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I follow Jesus every day.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you this morning. Good to see everyone here this morning, and certainly good to be here to open up the Word of God with you, to study therein, and probably as always, I might step on one or two of your toes, maybe all ten, so I'm not sure, but we certainly are always looking for opportunity to grow and become stronger, become more of what we ought to be, and walk worthy of the name of Christ. And so that's some of the things we'll be talking about today. We're going to talk a little bit about our mind and our focus. There's lots of things to distract us today. And I suppose that that's always how it's been, is that there's always lots of distractions. I can only speak for us today, There are plenty of things to take us away from the Bible, away from reading and studying, away even from having the time to apply the Bible, because it takes time to apply the Word of God. And it takes time to think about that, but you know, when our minds are flooded with so many other things, that you know that gets pushed aside, and we don't give the proper thought of how can I apply, what can I do. You know, we wake up in the morning and instead of thinking, what can I do, you know, better today? What can I do in terms of my life and walk as a Christian today? Instead of thinking that, from the very beginning, we're flooded with all kinds of things. And, you know, the generation of which I come from, folks call it the millennials. I don't like that term, but I'm called that. You know, we got all kinds of things nowadays. You know, there's the computer, and then the tablet, and the cell phone, and then all kinds of other stuff. So, but I think for all of us, there's going to be something to distract us. Nowadays, it might be the cell phone, but for others, it might just be the newspaper, you know, every morning, and choosing to do one thing over another. You know, We live in a valley of decisions. We really do. We are in a valley of decision every day of our life. And, you know, what are we going to choose? What are we going to choose to do? There's always either doing this or doing that. And sometimes I think we make the mistake of choosing the wrong thing, and that leads to other things. And I want to look at a few scriptures with you over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Will be the first text. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You won't have the projector today to follow along with, but that's okay. That's not a problem. Hopefully, we'll have it tonight. You're just going to have to be listening a little closer to when I call out the scriptures instead of seeing where you need to go from the projector. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is a text dealing with various situations of marriage that were current to the context of Corinth. They were dealing with some persecution, some suffering, a very trying time. And one of the things that that Paul encourages them to do is actually to not marry if they could help it. He encouraged them not to marry at that time because of the current state of persecution. And that's what he's dealing with here in 1 Corinthians 7. And one of the things he says to these young women, you know, in dealing with such a trialsome time, a time of great distraction, he encourages them to hold off on marrying because they're in verse 35. Notice there in verse 35 of 1 Corinthians 7. He said, "And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction." You see that? He's encouraging them to do something that could be hard for them. And he tells them at the beginning of the chapter, if this is too hard for you, then get married by all means. You know, it's not a law of commandment, but he is simply talking to them about a little bit of common sense of making their lives more difficult under that current state of persecution. And to hold off on adding more things to our lives during that state, and you know, until at least that state is over with. And what he said there in verse 35 is I'm saying these things for your own benefit. I'm not trying to put a leash on you by telling you at that point not to marry. He says, but my goal here is I want you to serve the Lord without distraction. You see that? And if you're reading from, that was the New King James Version that I'm reading from. If you're reading from the English Standard Version, he said that it says there that I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. To secure your undivided devotion. You see, when these women would marry, or even still today, whether under persecution or not, now they have devotion to their husband and to the Lord. And that's what he is saying to them. It is such a trying time to remain faithful to the Lord. Why don't you focus on securing your devotion just to the Lord? Okay, when you get, if you can get a handle on that, then he encouraged them to, you know, you can move on to devoting yourself to a husband as well. You know, this is definitely a scripture that deals a lot with the context of that time and that city, and what was currently going on is affecting the instruction that Paul is giving to them. Nevertheless, we have a takeaway from this. We can certainly see some application. We can see some wisdom here and apply it not just necessarily to our marriages, but to anything in our life. We definitely want to secure our devotion to the Lord. We definitely want to have an undistracted mind in our serving of the Lord. And we probably greatly dislike these things that distract us, but on the other hand, we like them enough for them to be a distraction. I guess we hate that they're a distraction, but we just really, we love, you know, certain things, you know, in this life. So we hate that it distracts us from our devotion to the Lord, but we still, to this day, possibly allow them to distract us. So, one of the things we saw there in the scripture reading this morning, Brother Doyle gave back in Matthew chapter 5, was Jesus talking about things in our life that's very valuable. And if we cannot control ourselves with those things, then we've got to cut it off. And that's something that we need to give a lot of thought to in our life. He had told them, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Or if he said, if your hand, right hand causes you to sin, and you notice he uses the term your right hand, you know, to most folks, you know, the right hand is the most valuable of the hands, and most effective. If that causes you to sin, cut it off. You know, and the words are very extreme, and then he gets even more extreme when he says, it's better for you to lose one of your members, like your right eye or your right arm, he says, rather than for all your members to be lost to hell. So, that's something to think about. You know, things that are of the greatest value to our life, if we cannot handle ourselves, if we cannot become temperate and control even the things of which are valuable to us, and to the point in which we would lose our soul, we need to think about some things. I know Brother Alex Hale, I remember he told a story, I don't know who it was about, but when he was up here for a gospel meeting, he told a story about one Christian ripping out their TV and throwing it out the window, literally. If the TV is going to distract us from our devotion to God, then by all means, if we can't get a handle on that, then it's got to go out the window. So there are things on this earth that are not necessarily wrong or sinful in and of themselves, but the same can distract us from doing what is right, and, you know, those things then become sinful to us. Jesus had said back in Matthew chapter 6, which is that very next chapter, he talked to the people about worrying and having anxiety. And I think we're all pretty familiar with that subject. I think we all have... have some anxieties from time to time, maybe some more than others. And I know there's clinical issues with that too as well, with having different imbalances and anxieties. I certainly understand that. But for those who don't necessarily have any of those types of imbalances, still worry about things, concerned about things, having anxiety over things. But Jesus dealt with this, and one of the things he said was over in verse 33 of Matthew 6, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, Jesus was a good example of that. I bet it would tore him to shreds if every day he was worrying about how the people would reject him, you know, spit upon him, put him to trial, bind him up and scourge him, and put him on the cross, you know, and all that pain that he knew was going to happen. He knew every day was going to happen, and yet what does he say in his example of prayer? It was, "Give us this day our daily bread," you know. And he was looking at that day, and he wasn't looking at the tomorrow. And I imagine that would be very difficult for someone who knew what tomorrow would look like, which he did. He knew what tomorrow would look like, and even still, he was focused on the day and his devotion to his Father in heaven that day. Now, you and I do not know what tomorrow will look like, or the next day, or you know, any day for that matter. We don't even know what the next minute will exactly look like. We might think we might, but we just don't. And we worry. Friends, that is a distraction. There's nothing we can do. We know that. I'm not saying anything different to you than what you've already known. We know that there's nothing we can do, but why are we talking about this now? Because we still worry. We still have concerns and anxieties in this life, and every time we spend our time on those anxieties, we're missing out on some things we could be doing. We are being distracted, and Jesus, it seems that's exactly what he has in mind here in Matthew 6, is he talks to them about worry, and then he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first righteousness in your life." Why would he say that in that context? Because he knows the distraction that these things have on our life. We struggle with it so much. Let's turn over to something else that Jesus taught over in the book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Jesus told a story to the multitude there in Luke chapter 14, and beginning in verse 16. Luke 14, verse 16. He said to them, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of his house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you have commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Well, you read this and, you know, the original context is has reference to the Jews and their rejection of their Messiah. But what an application there is here for us. You have the gospel call saying, come. And for you know, the unbeliever, but for the converted Christian, still we have the word of the gospel telling us to feed, you know, and to come and partake of the Lord and take of Him, eat of Him, become Him in your life, and excuses. You know, you see these folks here in the text. One says, oh, I've bought a piece of land. I need to go and see it. Another says, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to test them out. Another says, I've just married a wife, so I can't show up. Were these viable excuses? According to verse 21, they weren't, because the master of the house, who in the parable, you know, it's God, the master of the house is angry because look what he has provided, this great supper. Look what he has provided. He has provided his son. He has provided sacrifice. He has provided salvation eternal. And he has said, come, take freely, eat freely, drink freely, come. And excuse after excuse after excuse of why they can't. That's why he's angry. There is nothing in these people's lives. I mean, are they lying? No, they're not lying. I'm sure that man bought land. I'm sure that man bought 5 yokes of oxen. I'm sure that other man just got married. They're not lying. But they are nothing in comparison to what has just been offered to them. Our salvation. Nothing in this life compares to it. Nothing in this life is more important than securing our relationship and fellowship with Christ. And what we do as a Christian is the most important thing of our everyday. There will always be excuses. There will always be things that need attending to on this earth. And we live here, all right? We live and we work, and there are plenty of things that always need to be done. That comes with living in the flesh. I understand that. The Lord understands certainly. But we have to understand that we cannot allow these things to be a distraction for us. We can't lose our focus on Christ, running that race, strong, focused on Him on this earth. Flip a couple pages back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. You can see that Luke is recording things in the life of Jesus that is falling along these lines. And so this is certainly something that Luke desires his readers to have a firm understanding about. Because we just read it back there in chapter 14. But coming back here in chapter 9, we see some similar ideas. Over in verse 59... In verse 59, Jesus said to another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus used very strong language here, doesn't he? Follow me. The first one says, Lord, let me first. Did you see that? He said, follow me. And the man's response is, Lord, let me first go. And we don't even have to, you know, finish the sentence. But, you know, what happened to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? But there's something that is going first before following Jesus. You see that? And that's why Jesus is so strong about this in this lesson that he's teaching these folks. You know, this man, again, like the one we saw in chapter 14, these folks, they have all these kinds of excuses. This man's excuse might seem viable, this idea of, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Well, I don't exactly know the situation here, but it seems to me that this man's father probably isn't even dead. I do think that this is an excuse. I think that what he is saying, you may have heard folks, I know I've heard some say something like, I'll become a Christian at, you know, fill in the blank, whatever point in my life. You know, when I retire. When I retire, you know, I'll settle down and, you know, become a member of a church or something like that. I think that's exactly what this man's doing, you know. Let me wait until I can bury my father. Let me wait until, you know, my father's life has ended. I can bury him, be done with that stage of my life, and then I'll follow you. You know, and I think that's the point of which he is making. The other man, same idea. Let me first. Same idea. He says, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first. Well, first is the Lord, you know. And so these folks have started out here saying, I will, but let me first. And so they've got it completely flipped around. And they're letting this world and this life and the plenty of things that are in this life take a hold of them. And that we're going to do those things first. And then, if we have enough left over, enough energy left over, then we'll give some of that energy to the Lord. So we run into these problems. I am sure each and every one of us are susceptible of these things. This is the struggle of our life, and we need to question this. We need to question ourselves. You know, what is first in our life? What is before all other things? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. I can't answer that for you. I can only answer it for myself. And when we ask ourselves these kinds of things, and we have that true examination, let's just not walk away from it. You know, the easiest thing to do would be, when these few minutes are up, we're going to leave here. And the easiest thing to do is to leave here and leaving everything about this lesson here, you know, and just walk away from it. Well, I mean, it's not going to help us get to heaven. I mean, it's going to do nothing for us. And we might as well not have even been here. You know, it'd be vain that we spent this amount of energy to get here. And then, you know, there's no application. There's no change. You see where you lack in your life. I see where I lack in my life. Well, that means tomorrow it ought to look a lot better. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul put it an interesting way, like what we're talking about here, to the Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 24. Verse 24, he said, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul is making a point here about our life that is just the hardest thing for us to get a handle on. He said, he's talking about a race. He said in verse 25, everyone who competes is temperate in all things. You have the runners of the race. We know still to this day, they had the Olympics back then. We still have the Olympics today. There's all kinds of other races as well. And folks, that they give their life to that race. They give their life. Everything as far as what they eat, how much they eat, you know, how they exercise, how much they exercise, everything about their life and lifestyle, you know, getting a good night, you know, a proper night's rest. You know, they're not out doing this or that, or, you know, going to the late hours of the night. You know, personally, you know, Saturdays, if at all I can help it, Saturday night, I don't want to be out, you know, anywhere. You know, taking in a movie or anything like that. To me, Saturday night is our preparation for worship. We go to bed at a proper time. We wake up to worship God so that I'm not dragging, that I'm not tired. If at all possible, I think that should be the goal of all of ourselves. Now, there's plenty of other things that people could do on a Saturday night or any night. But we discipline our body. Bring it into subjection. Isn't that what he said? I just love that text there in verse 27. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. All right, he's got a control over himself. And so this is how he's running, as he's talking about. He's competing, and he views this life, and he views getting to eternity in terms of a race, and in running a race, those who are competing are temperate in all things, and we all well know that. And you look at these athletes, and there are magazine, you know, entries and books and things and biographies about all this, you know, the different athletes, and you look at their schedule and their regimen, and it's like, wow, you know, it is tremendous the kind of discipline that these individuals have. Well, this is what Paul is dealing with. For you and I to become a Christian and to remain a Christian is that we discipline our body. Bring it into subjection. Become temperate in all things. If we know that there is something that is not going to help us get to heaven, we're not going to want any part of it. If we know that there is something in our life that is hindering our progress in getting to the goal, we're going to start working right away to shed that. And this little lesson, it's just a reminder because we know these things, but even though we know it, we forget. It's just sometimes not, you know, at the forefront of our mind. I'm sure all of us could say, you know, these things are not at the forefront of our mind. You know, I know seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I've heard that before, you know, but this lesson was not to try to teach us something that we don't know. It's to remind us something that we well know about, but something I'm sure every one of us struggle. May it not be so anymore. May we walk out of here with the proper application that we're going to discipline ourselves. You know, we're going to say no to certain things. Things of this world, things that we love. We're going to say no. We're not going to allow it. Because it's hindering us. It's hindering our progress. It's hindering our ability to be devoted to the Lord. It's hindering our ability to come to services. It's hindering our ability each and every day to do the things that are proper in devotion to God. So I really hope we'll take these things to heart. And if there is anyone here today who does not have fellowship with their Savior, then we invite you this morning, as the gospel of Jesus Christ invites you, to the supper. The Father says come, the Son says come, the Holy Spirit says come. Come to the salvation that's already been provided for you. Come in repentance of your sins. If you believe in the Lord, then confess his name to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If that's your need and you've realized that need, then won't you come and let us know all together. We stand and sing.